It is time to bring in our good friends from the Berkshire Edge, David and Marcy. The BerkshireEdge.com covers news, events, happenings in the South County area and surrounding areas of our listening area. And you can find them 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at the BerkshireEdge.com and right here on a Wednesday morning on Robinhood Radio. Good morning, guys.
Good morning.
I like hearing The Who.
Yeah, I
like those guys.
I'm a big fan, and especially that album. But anyway, I show my age. But then again, I love classical music. You know, people when we used to have mixes before all the music was available to us, if you listen to my mix, it would go from classical to country to you name it is on there, because I just like music that I like, no matter what it is. But The Who's right there at the top of my list. So,
good.
Well, you know, it's funny.
Marshall, I have to tell you that when I lived in San Francisco, I did light shows for those rock bands.
All right. Well, I wish I was there to see it. I would have asked you for some backstage press passes.
Well, you would have had them.
Well, you know, I like your lead in the note you sent me. For the first time in a while, the story about coronavirus is not among our top stories of the week, and that's good news. New York, as a matter of fact, had fireworks all over the state last night to basically announce the ending of all their COVID-19.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
okay.
They had it from New York City to Syracuse, all over, fireworks displays, and they're now, because they've reached a 70% rate, all COVID restrictions have been relaxed. So,
yep.
Amazing.
So I see that that's happening around the world too.
Yeah, it's just a nice feeling after the incredibly bad summer and fall and winter we had last year.
Yeah.
Yeah, but
it's odd. I mean, I'm David and I went to the grocery store yesterday, and we walked in wearing masks. We saw that half the people were wearing masks, half the people were not. We walked up to a clerk who was wearing a mask and said, do we have to wear masks? And he said, the requirement has been lifted. It's up to you. So we took off our masks, but I must say I felt a little naked without it.
Well,
also a little nervous.
Well,
yeah.
I'm not nervous. I've had the two shots,
yeah.
And we've made it this far. You know, we all of us that have gotten our shots have made it this far who haven't gotten COVID. If for some reason we get COVID, we've done everything we can. So
yeah, still.
So it's time to head back to normal,
obviously.
Really.
Obviously, if we get it, we haven't done everything we've done. Everything we thought we could.
We've done everything we've told to do, and you can't do any better than that.
Right.
Well, let's go to your first story, A Tale of Two Cities. Now, that's a town and a village. That's Great Barrington and Housatonic.
Well, Housatonic is a village within the town of Great Barrington.
That's right, and it is proud of itself and feeling of independence, but on the other hand, it feels neglected. And this old feeling popped up recently when the lawn of the library didn't get mowed by the town.
The library in Housatonic.
The library in Housatonic. There's the Ramsdale Library in Housatonic is an independent. The little village of Housatonic is very proud of its library, and it's a very nice. It's actually a pretty nice library, actually. And it's been threatened to be closed from every so often. The residents of Housatonic won't hear of it. Because it's a great place for kids to go in the village. And But
the library in Great Barrington has been mowed and looks beautiful.
Yeah,
so.
and the lawn of the Ramsdale Library in Housatonic is overgrown and neglected. And so the Housatonic residents have taken this as a symbol of their long
second-class citizens.
That they are second-class citizens in the town of Great Barrington.
Right.
Well,
but the At any rate, but the town rebuts that and says the problem is that so many people have taken overdue vacation that they just didn't have enough people.
Put in AstroTurf is what I say. Put in AstroTurf.
Well, the other problem, well, you know, Housatonic residents are not believing that.
No.
There's a shortage of staff. Because, you know,
I just don't know why these when something like this happens and a mistake has happened and something has been forgotten, just say, you know what,
we'll get it done.
You can just admit that you made a mistake and you know you'll get it done. I mean, that's
well,
not
they don't they said that. No, I agree that you're right, but however they didn't claim that they made a mistake. They said that so many people were taking carryover vacation days, which had to be taken before the end of June or lost, that they just didn't have enough people to mow.
Well, let me put it this way. The library in the Mason Library downtown in Great Barrington got mowed.
It did.
So it's just admit you made a mistake and move on. But this is what's great about the first two stories is they're tied together because small town disputes, and it looks like the dispute between the Orient Express restaurant and the foundry has some sort of settlement.
It does, and
this is in the town of West Stockbridge.
And this is kind of a disturbing story because it shows how close to the surface this kind of anger is these days. I mean, this is a story. There is a Vietnamese restaurant that actually has no road leading to it because in about 1990, the town closed the road that it was on, and the only access to that road was across private property, which is owned by a restaurant or a performance place called The Foundry. And The Foundry decided it was having outdoor concerts this summer and was concerned that if cars were driving across its property while it was having its outdoor concerts, that its patrons would be in danger. So they wanted to close that right-of-way, which is, after all, their property. And it became a very nasty fight in which there were accusations of racism and and selfishness and all kinds of things, and directed at the owner of the foundry, who was actually an extremely philanthropic and generous and civic-minded person. So now it has been solved. There's an agreement until October 31st for the right of way for customers of the Vietnamese restaurant, but it is not solved past October 31st, and it's really the town which should be responsible, since the town closed off the road to begin with. But instead, you know, the anger has been focused at this local business person who, has only been trying to protect her own clientele from the danger of cars driving through a concert area.
You know, I'm firmly convinced that if we didn't come through such a horrible last year and a half economically, this would not have become an issue at all.
I think that's right.
Everybody is so, I have noticed an enormous anger lately. And everybody is sort of wanting to be angry. And I think it's because of all this pent-up tension over the last year. But I must say that I went to New York for the first time in 16 months last week, and I take the subway everywhere, and I had a suitcase with me, and ordinarily, you know, I drag the suitcase up and down stairs, but six times in the course of 2 days when I was in the subway taking my suitcase around, young men came up to me and asked me if I wanted help, and carried my suitcase up the stairs or down the stairs, and this never happened before. and they came willingly. I wasn't even looking distressed, but people came to me and offered to carry my suitcase, and it was phenomenal, and it was such gestures of goodwill and camaraderie that I was astonished.
Well, you know, I've always seen that in New York. When I had my surgeries and I had to go see my doctor, and I would get a ride down to the city, and I would have to, you know, get my wheelchair out, and it was just a very slight incline to go to my specialist's office, but they, for some reason, decided to cobblestone the sidewalk. So moving a wheelchair up an incline, like, it was tough, and I was having a tough time, and all of a sudden, behind me, somebody started pushing me. And what it was a construction worker who was working on a scaffolding, saw that I was having a tough time, just came right down and pushed me up there. I can tell you a million things like that happened in New York.
No, it is true, but I can tell you that this was unusual because, you know, I used to be in and out of New York all the time with my little wheeling suitcase. And nobody ever asked if they could help. I mean, sometimes I would actually ask somebody if it was a very high staircase and my suitcase was particularly heavy. I would actually ask somebody if they would help me, and they always did. But this time, I mean, it was every single time I was in the subway and every single staircase that I encountered, somebody came forward and asked me to help, asked me if I wanted help or offered to help or just, you know, helped.
That's great. That's great.
It was amazing. So I hope, but I do feel that there's tremendous anger.
I hope that this summer, the rest of the summer, will be the release valve that we've all needed to get rid of that as we head into an important winter for people, but not only for people, but for the businesses that manage to survive and come out the other side of this dark age. So
right.
Yeah.
It's important. Now, you've got our next story is, despite the pandemic, the town meeting season is happening in the Berkshires.
Yes. We had a successful town meeting in Great Barrington in the parking lot, and somebody else had a successful town meeting outside where, on an athletic field.
Right.
And now we have a story about the West
Stockbridge.
Stockbridge, which was indoors.
Right. This is Stockbridge is you know, always a lively meeting, and it was again, but they managed to get all their business done, even in the gymnasium of the elementary school there. Is where they traditionally hold it.
And the meeting lasted 5 hours.
5 hours, which is a good old-fashioned meeting, you know. but it was it's just a sign that, you know, despite this pandemic, these traditions are continuing. And, of course, in New England, at least in Massachusetts, the town meeting is the government. That is the government, and the select board and all the other committees and commissions are just agents of the decisions made at the town meeting. So,
direct democracy.
Yes. That's, I guess, what we'd call it, direct democracy.
You know, I've got a story out of Cornwall, Connecticut, that'll probably rattle your ears if you haven't heard it yet.
Right.
The Zoning Board of Appeals wants to prohibit people from speaking from public comments at their meeting. I thought at first it was just that during the meeting itself, well, they didn't want people to interject. But no, they don't want public comment. And that is just plain wrong. I mean, you're appointed,
that's
elected,
crazy.
Whatever. Yeah. It's going to be interesting to see how it pans out. They're saying, well, they can ask their questions on the website and everything. Well, no. You can have your meeting without interruption, but at the end, you should allow the people that show up, if they have questions and comments, to make them. I mean, that's the way
Great Barrington does.
Yeah, that's
they have at the end of the meeting, they have a select board meeting or an annual town meeting, they have a period where people can ask questions.
Now, you know, years ago they were going to do that at the Region 1 Board of Education, and they finally decided, no, we're not going to do that. What we're going to do is please keep your comments to what's on the agenda for tonight. And if you have other comments outside of the agenda, send us a written letter, and then we will include it, the comments for that, in the next. And so I went along with that because that seemed to be okay to me. But just to say no, there's no public comment at the end of the meeting is just, and if for our New England type of government, just goes against everything that it stands for.
Indeed.
Yeah.
I haven't heard of that.
That wouldn't.
I'll tell you what. If they pulled that in Great Barrington or Lenox or some town in Massachusetts, I think they would be in for a big fight.
Well, I think this is not over in Cornwall. I think that the people will eventually win out because that's what town meeting. That's what these meetings are all about.
You know? Well, that's the virtue,
yeah.
And it's sometimes a little clumsy and takes a little longer, but that's part of our. It allows people to feel part of the government that. They elected.
You know, it's interesting because I had a talk with Lisa Carter, the Region 1 superintendent, and what they're going to do next year is they have a lot of, in the Board of Education meetings, they have a lot of presentations from students that have done things at the school and special programs. And what they want to do, because we have the availability of cable TV and radio and YouTube, they're going to start a YouTube channel on this, and all the accolades that are done by students and teachers and stuff that are outside the normal business operations of the school, they're going to try to get that together so people can get that information very quickly and at the Board of Education meetings deal with the nuts and bolts of the operations of the school. So, these places, they just have to think ahead and try to come up with ideas. But they got to remember that if they wanted to be in that office and it's a 5.5-hour meeting, guess what? It's a 5.5-hour meeting.
Right.
Well, you know, along that line, the school board, the district school board meetings here, I know at the very beginning, Superintendent Peter Dillon, always takes a moment to, right at the beginning, to do a salute and shout-outs to people. And it's a really nice tradition. And he allows, some good news. He calls it the good news.
Huh.
So it's kind of interesting. It's sort of outside of the agenda, but it's kind of here are some good things that are happening before we tackle the budget.
Yeah. No, there's different ways you can handle it, but stifling people only leads to problems in the future. So
it does.
All right, I want to go on to the next story because it's a pretty cool story about taking traditional education and turning it not on its head but on its side, and that is unschooling students to try to get them to develop critical thinking skills.
Yeah, this is a story from one of our writers, Hannah Van Sickle. This is a story about the so-called Berkshire Free Academy, which emphasizes analysis, application, and critical thinking skills, as they say. It reminded me of my days of working at Bennington College, which was founded on the very same lines, of a kind of development of not imposing a preset curriculum on students, but rather letting them sort of develop their interests on their own, so they can take ownership of their education. And this is a process that is going on here too. Go ahead, Marcy.
Oh no! I was just going to say that this is not limited to Great Barrington. I was involved when I lived in New York in Outward Bound's experiential education, this is very much the same kind of thing that kids learn by doing. I mean, it's a whole
That's right.
Different approach to pedagogy, but it definitely allows children to have a greater role, and it's no longer what they call chalk and talk, with the teacher standing up at the blackboard teaching, but it's kids being very active and finding their own interests and charting their own courses, and it seems to work.
Yeah, it also creates students of really independent learning.
Yeah.
That was the thing that I noticed at Bennington College, was the students really were pursuing their own academic passions, and it was really interesting.
Well, also the other thing that that is underpins a lot of this approach is that you no longer can graduate high school with a degree that will help you live for the rest of your life. You know, get a job and have all the information that you need. That living, I mean, the things change so fast that we really have to teach children how to teach themselves and how to learn and how to continue learning, because, in the field of employment, you're not going to be able to find a good job with only a high school degree unless you are able to, learn how to use technical manuals, learn how to acquire new skills. You have to learn how to learn. And that's going to be the most important skill that kids are going to graduate with.
Yeah.
So these curricula that teach kids how to teach themselves are already important, but are going to be even more important in the future.
All right. You've got a great story about Tanglewood, the summer season.
Yeah.
And it's an interesting thing that they're going to do for the 4th of July with the Boston Pops.
Yes.
Yeah, no James Taylor.
No James Taylor. I mean, I don't know if there can be a
4th of July.
A July 4th in the Berkshires without James, Well, he went to Williams, so he's been in the Berkshires for forever.
Right. Now, is this a free concert? I'm trying to remember.
No, I don't think so.
Once again, it's subject to the 9,000 people and everything like that. But the fireworks you will see will be via video, I guess, from Boston.
Yep.
Oh.
Yeah. So they're
no fireworks at Tanglewood. It's true.
Yeah. Well, so this has to be a. They're doing their best they can, under the circumstances.
Right.
It's a hybrid 4th of July show.
It's a hybrid 4th of July, but it's still a 4th of July celebration.
Yes, nonetheless, I want to get in spite of the pandemic and the limitations that we suffer from. I want to get onto your last story because it's on Juneteenth, and most of America was unaware of this and the problems of Black society. When HBO aired their version of a movie, they included what happened in Tulsa, Oklahoma. But more and more we're finding out that what happened in Tulsa, Oklahoma, to Black Wall Street, happened in many other places across this country.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't just relegated to Tulsa, Oklahoma, and. June 19th, Bridge is hosting a forum on white privilege.
That's right.
Right.
Bridge is multicultural Bridge, which is an organization that Gwen Van Sant has founded. That is a organization that celebrates racial and cultural diversity in the Berkshires, and of course in the Berkshires. There's been a very interesting and productive community of black people, including W.B. Du Bois. So this is a continuation of a celebration of our history that's sometimes not quite.
It's admirable,
yeah. And it's not, that we should make sure that everybody is aware of.
And the, you know, for those who don't know, I mean, the significance of June 19th is that even though the Declaration of, the Emancipation Proclamation came out on January 1st, 1863, which supposedly freed the slaves, in areas under Confederate control, the slaves did not get freed then.
Yeah.
And in 1865, which is like 2.5 years later, on June 19th, when Union troops arrived in Galveston, Texas, the black people there were still enslaved because the Confederacy had not freed them. So Union troops came in and announced that slaves should have been freed, and it was on June 19th, and ever since then, it's been a holiday. You know, it's been a day recognized in the black community as Juneteenth.
Right.
When the black people in Texas were finally freed 2.5 years after everybody else.
Well, so, guess
but
what?
It's a little known holiday, actually.
Yeah.
But it is in Massachusetts. It is an official state holiday.
Right. Yeah. And I read that the U.S. Senate has voted to establish Juneteenth as a federal holiday. It has
right.
to be approved by the House now.
Well, we'll see. We'll see what happens with our Senate and House.
Yeah, but is the Senate passed it, yeah. which is surprising.
All right. Well, that wraps up our time already.
Yeah.
Very busy time. Well. And summertime, we're getting back to normal. We'll speak to you guys next week.
Okay.
Bye.
Take care.
Great. We'll talk to you then.
Yeah,
bye-bye.
Bye. That is the Berkshire Edge On Air. Of course, you can find them at theberkshireedge.com, theberkshireedge.com on the web.